following podcast is brought to you exclusively by the R&R Podcast Network. Welcome to the flagship edition of the Rad Turtles Wrestling Podcast. A hard-hitting, in-depth, cutting-edge look into the world of professional wrestling. Now, let's introduce your host, Rad Rob, Rob Francois.
It's a new day. Yes, it is.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Rad Turtles Wrestling Podcast. This is the flagship. It is episode number 119. I'm your host, Rad Rob, Rob Francois. Big announcement I want to make before I get into the body of this show. Due to some extenuating circumstances, I am no longer part of the Reality Check Podcast Network. I don't want to go into detail right now. But myself and my former co-host, the real deal heel, Richie Reardon, have both split from Reality Check and created our own podcast network, the R&R Podcast Network, as you heard in the intro before this show. We have full control over our stuff. We own all the rights to our stuff, and we no longer have to work for anybody else. We can call our own shots. So Richie and I are happy to be working together to bring you the same stuff that we brought before, you know, with some Wrestling Anonymous, with Rad Turtles Wrestling Podcast. But we're also working on some new shows that I don't want to divulge the information right now. But we are expanding the network already. We're bringing you some different shows, not just wrestling, but other themes as well. And I'm also in negotiations with the Brothers Grappler right now to possibly do some stuff with them as well. So big things to come. Nothing changes for you. We're back on Spreaker. We're happy and proud to be back on Spreaker. I never want to leave Spreaker to begin with, but that's another story for another day. But yeah, nothing changes for you, as always, through all the craziness where Reality Check kept moving podcast servers and moving to podcast hosts over and over and over again because of one person's vision, which wasn't a shared vision, but that's beside the point. We're back on Spreaker. We're happy to be here. And obviously nothing changed for you as everything was redirected to this feed from Art19. We want to thank everybody at Art19 and the publisher desk for the couple of months that I was there. So it's good to be on our own now and do our own thing. We don't have to answer to anybody else. So that's what's going on. It's a major, major change. I want to thank John Wangland for the year and a half or so that I work with him. Wish him nothing but the best. And we're moving on. Moving on to bigger and better things, I promise. That being said, the flagship is changing a bit. As I mentioned in the last episode of RTW Rewind on Thursday, reviewing all these shows is, even in a condensed version, is just a lot of work. It's a bit too much, and I don't want to bog down, you know, the shows, breaking down every single thing that happened on Raw, SmackDown, AEW, and NXT. So I'm just going to give you what I liked best about each show and what I didn't like. What I like best about this week's Monday Night Raw was not much, to be quite honest. Just to back up for a second, regarding last week's show, I was on vacation in Florida, and I took time out to record a show when I should have been spending time with my family. But my wife is amazing. She understands that I'm running a business. But the show just didn't come out right. My heart wasn't in it. I just really just phoned it in. And I always strive to bring you guys the best content that I can. And it just wasn't up to my standards. It wasn't good. Even though there was a lot to talk about, it just wasn't worth it. So, unfortunately, you know, I hate taking the week off. I don't ever try to take any time off. Unless I really, really have to. And that show just wasn't good. So, that being said, let's address the whole plexiglass thing with WWE and the fact that they had NXT talent at ringside. Like, AEW has had their talent at ringside for how many months now? And WWE finally gets on the same program and does their own thing, but now puts up plexiglass walls, almost like a hockey arena, to separate themselves from the wrestlers. Look, the wrestlers, everybody there, they're all tested. As far as I know, they're all cleared. They don't have COVID. Why the hell are you putting up plexiglass? From what I've heard, it's kind of an experiment to see how it works, to see how it looks on TV, to see how fans take to it on social media. Because when we go back to doing shows, and I promise you, before the summer is out, or at least by the fall, we'll probably be getting back to doing live shows again with the crowd there, with actual fans there. And this may be the new norm that you see with plexiglass, you know, all around the place. And maybe even if they go back to arenas. I can't say I like it. It looks dumb. I called out AEW for having their talent at ringside because, look, these are professional athletes. I don't want to hear them booing and cheering people. It's stupid. You wouldn't see that in an NBA game. You wouldn't see a game between the Timberwolves and the Celtics and the Mavericks are in the crowd, like booing and chanting and cheering defense and all that. It's stupid shit. So why do you have your professional athletes do it? Can you imagine that back in the day? Can you imagine Randy Savage and Hulk Hogan and the Bushwhackers and all them in the crowd cheering and booing? Of course not. It's dumb. It's stupid. I get why you don't want to have, you know, an empty arena like WWE's have for quite a while, and it's so quiet and there's not much noise other than whoever may be in the match or at ringside or the commentators. I get that. But it's a unique time that we're in. I'm not even talking about COVID. At this point, I can give a shit about COVID. I'm not worried about people getting infected. I'm worried about this sounding stupid. And it's something I really never thought about before, but it is. It's dumb. You know, on AEW, you got Billy Gunn and his kid booing MJF during a promo at one point, you know, a couple weeks ago. Really? And now I'm supposed to be a fan and suspend my disbelief and all that, but sometimes I just can't. These are professional entertainers, professional athletes out there booing and cheering like they're marks, like they're fans. And then WWE goes the extreme and has NXT people there, which some of them, I don't even know who they were. They call them trainees, but there's still some pretty notable people like, you know, Shotzi Blackheart and people that have been on TV. Just cheering and booing for the good guys and the bad guys. And then this plexiglass. It looks like a big, like, capsule. Like, I don't know what to do.
Hey, this is Jason Powell from ProWrestling.net, the Rad Turtles Wrestling Podcast. It's amazing to me that turtles have the ability to speak, let alone host wrestling podcasts. I guess that's what makes them rad.
Turtles Wrestling Podcast.
This week, Raw, the only thing I really liked was Randy Orton's promo, which I'm going to play for you right now. Here is Randy Orton talking about his upcoming match at Backlash with the one and only Rated R Superstar, Edge.
For the past few months, I've woken up, went at home, sat on the couch, poured a cup of coffee and watched the WWE Network. And I've caught up on The Undertaker's Last Ride documentary, Chronicle, Arrival, 360, 24. Hell, I even caught up on the ride-along. The one thing that every WWE superstar seems to have in common is that they think Ric Flair, is the greatest to ever do it. I agree. But then last week on Monday Night Raw, I tuned in, of course, and I saw Ric Flair. I saw the wheeling, dealing, kiss stealing, jet flying, limousine riding, son of a gun. And you know what he said? He said that in his opinion, Randy Orton is the best to ever lace up a pair of boots. And you know what, Edge? You've said the same. But you know what else you've said? 2 weeks ago on Raw, you said right to my face that I didn't have a passion for this business, that I was handed everything, that I was content, that I just did it for the paycheck, that I was complacent, that I was comfortable. And you know what? You're right. What can I say? You're right. And you can't stand that for 20 years I have phoned it in and I have half-assed it and I have still accomplished more than you or anyone else in that locker room has accomplished. You scratched and you clawed to make your way here. You scratched and you clawed and you had to pretend to be the heroes from your childhood to get here. All I had to do was be Randy Orton. All I had to do was wake up, lace my boots, and get in that ring to prove that I am the best. And at Backlash, I'm going to do the same. At Backlash, what very well could be the greatest wrestling match ever, I am going to prove that I am better than you at Backlash. Edge. I set the bait. You bit. And now your storybook ending is going to be rewritten by the three most destructive letters in sports entertainment. RKO.
Edge and Orton have done, you know, some of the best stuff we've seen in a long, long time. And the only thing I hate about this whole thing is the whole tagline, the greatest wrestling match ever. And then having Ric Flair on there, who's had probably some of the greatest matches we'll ever see. And Shawn Michaels this week doing the same thing. Shawn and Rick are intertwined in some of the greatest matches that I've ever witnessed. And they're, you know, talking about who they think is going to win the match. Like, that's fine, but calling this the greatest wrestling match ever, when it'll be in front of, you know, the NXT fans or NXT trainees and you know, contractors, whatever. So it'll be a little bit better than previous pay-per-views because you'll have some crowd noise, even though I still think it's stupid as hell. But really, to call this the greatest wrestling match ever, or it could be the greatest wrestling match ever, what is WWE trying to prove? What do they get out of this by having that tagline? It's insulting to everybody else that's ever took part in the business. Not only that, it's insulting to, you know, Undertaker against Shawn Michaels, Stone Cold and The Rock, Ric Flair, Ricky Steamboat, Macho Man, Ricky Steamboat, Midnight Express, The Road Warriors, Tully and Arn, Dusty Rhodes. What anybody ever considered to be one of the greatest matches of all time. You think this now in 2020 is going to be better than any of those matches? I know it's all subjective, but seriously. And I'm not taking away from Edge and Randy Orton. I'm taking exception with WWE by pulling this to begin with. There's no doubt that Edge and Randy Orton can have a phenomenal match. But for WWE to say this could be the greatest wrestling match ever, why? What does it prove? What is the point? I don't get it. I don't understand the motivation or the rationale behind it. I really don't. I don't understand it. So we'll see what happens at Backlash in a couple weeks, but I don't like the whole marketing of it. I really don't. But I did enjoy the Orton promo. I loved the promo last week from Edge. I love the fact that Edge is kind of playing the underdog and he's doubting himself after being around, you know, being gone for 9 years. I like it. I like the story, but I hate the marketing around it. The only other thing I liked from Raw was the bowling segment between the Street Profits and the Viking Raiders. Obviously, we've seen them play basketball. We've seen them throw have an axe throwing contest. Last week they played golf. They got kicked off the golf course, so they went and played putt-putt. And now bowling. It's out there. It's ludicrous. It's over the top. It's hokey. But I've said this plenty of times. When all we see are match after match after match, give me something new. Give me something else that's entertaining. And that's what they've been doing. And sure, it's probably right up Vince McMahon's alley. No pun intended. Maybe there was a pun intended. God damn it, I don't even know. But it's entertaining. It's something different from just match after match after match, especially when a lot of the matches haven't been great because it's the same people wrestling over and over again because you don't have a full roster because people still don't want to go because of COVID. Stupid COVID. So now we have entertaining vignettes and stuff like this. And if you look on the toxic world of social media, they are tearing this up. They don't like it. They think it's stupid. You can't please anybody nowadays. You really can't. You can't please. And people are on social media to just complain. That's all they do. I don't even think they want to be entertained, to be quite honest. I think they want a reason to bitch. I'm enjoying these segments. Now over on AEW this week. Oh, and you know, I didn't even get to what happened last week. Let me just go back and just address something from last week. Number one, good to see the revival. Oh shit, I can't say that. Good to see FTR in AEW now. But Mike Tyson, really? Like, I was okay with him presenting the new TNT Championship belt at Double or Nothing. Like, I was fine with that. It's good promotion for the company. Mike Tyson is in, you know, quite possibly the best shape in the last 20 years and looks like a killer again. But now last week on AEW, he gets in Jericho's face and they have an altercation. They are literally revisiting Austin Tyson from 20, 25 years ago, which was cool then, but it's not now. Tyson couldn't even rip his friggin' shirt off. And then he like, look at the guns. Shout out to Ochi. Flashes the guns in front of Jericho and they get into it and they push each other and all that. Just like what happened between Austin and Tyson so many, many years ago. That's all it looked like. And now it looks even worse because they're both in their 50s. No, sorry, it is. It's true. I thought it was dumb. I thought it was hokey. I thought Jericho did a decent job. He's always a great promo. But this whole thing is stupid. It's just an absolute ripoff of what happened before. So now, in what WWE didn't do and didn't want to pull the trigger because they knew it was going to be a fucking train wreck, it appears to be that now Mike Tyson is going to fight Chris Jericho in Tyson's first ever wrestling match. At least at WrestleMania 14 in Boston, which I was fortunate to be there for. Mike Tyson sucked so bad he wasn't even the main referee. They had to put him outside the ring and have him be an enforcer outside the ring. That's how much Mike Tyson sucks at wrestling. Fantastic boxer. Knock anybody's head off. Not always the best sports entertainer. And this is going to be a clusterfuck when it happens. So that's an exception I took with last week. But this week, they had a promo package, you know, just blowing smoke up Mike Tyson's ass or whatever. Like, so stupid. Two things I loved from AEW. One, wasn't even on AEW television. It was an exclusive on their YouTube page. It's this man, Tully Blanchard, with his client, Sean Spears.
The last time I got in front of an AEW camera, it was in search of the perfect partner for Sean, because that's where we were going to go. That time is over. It stopped. No more search. What I've seen in the last couple of months, Sean, has changed my thought process. Because I thought you and I had synergy. I thought you and I were thinking the same way. And at pay-per-view, here I am sitting in my living room with friends, and all of a sudden I pop up on your crotch. In what friggin' world do you think that was funny? That's not what my legacy is gonna be, Sean. I promise you that. And there's something gonna happen in here. You've got to reach down inside you if you want to have a legacy, if you want to be a champion, if you want to be the best. You have got to go in and dig something out of your heart. When I held up four fingers in front of a camera on national television, that's because we were the best. You got to be the best. You got to want to be the best. If you don't want to be the best, then I'm going to be out the door. What do you want? What do you want your legacy to be? You want championship belts for your kid to hold up and say, look what my dad was? If you don't change something in your heart, that will never happen.
Man, for an old guy, Tully can still cut a hell of a promo. What an impassioned promo. These old guys are killing it. The younger guys can learn a lot from these older guys. You got Jake the Snake doing the best stuff. You know, he's done a long time, thankfully, because he's clean and sober. Completely overshadowing his client. And I said it was going to happen. The talk's all about Jake the Snake. It's not about Lance Archer. And now you got Tully Blanchard. He's been gone for a while because of COVID, which is fine. Cuts an impassioned promo. It was amazing. And he's always a great promo guy. But to still have it, after being out of the business for so many years and being in a different headspace now and being a pastor, and he was a real dick back then. But this was a fantastic promo. And again, Sean Spears standing in the background. Just overshadow Sean Spears. These guys can't see the forest for the trees. It's unbelievable. Oh, we want to be all about the new generation, blah, blah, blah. And then we have Arn Anderson and Tully Blanchard and Jake the Snake come in here and manage these, or coach these guys, right? And then cut fantastic promos that their clients can't produce the same quality promos, which naturally by human nature is going to overshadow who they're working for. Then you have formerly the Revival, now FTR in AEW, and this is the best promo they've ever cut. Granted, WWE and NXT didn't really let them cut that many promos. Vince McMahon could not see these guys for what they are and could not see these guys as great talkers, you know, because they're from North Carolina. But these guys were fantastic. They sat down with Tony Schiavone this week to speak about why they are in AEW. Here is FTR.
Really happy to be able to have the very first exclusive interview with FTR. If you'll recall, a week ago on AEW Dynamite, their surprise arrival exploded the internet. And Cash and Dax have joined me here. The obvious first question is, what does FTR stand for?
Hey, well, I mean... We got that a lot. FTR, it's not a tagline. It's not something, you know, we could just print on a shirt or whatever. It's a way of life for me and Cash.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of anything that we want it to be. Fear of the revolution. It's follow the rules. It's kind of a lifestyle for us. Like you said, it's something that it takes on a life of its own.
Now we're here in AEW. We're here at the pinnacle.
Sure.
The pinnacle of the revolution, the wrestling revolution. So right now, FTR is for the revolution.
AEW has the world's greatest tag teams.
Now. Officially.
Okay,
now.
Officially now. Okay.
The missing piece. You can print up a poster now.
There have to be a list of tag teams that FTR wants to face, right?
Obviously there is. I mean, we've had a year and a half to think about this, and despite what happened last week, Butcher and the Blade, man, they're a great tag team. You got the good kids, the kids,
very great kids,
Private Party, they're great kids,
and we want to work with Santana and Ortiz because we've seen those guys all over the world, and now we have a chance right here under the same roof. You got the Lucha Bros, who are the exact opposite of what we stand for in tag team wrestling. So we're going to teach them tag team wrestling, emphasis on tag.
And then obviously we can't forget about the AEW Tag Team Champions.
Yeah. Sure.
I mean, they're not even a real tag team, but Omega and Paige, I mean, that's our ultimate goal.
Interesting that you mentioned some teams. You didn't mention the Young Bucks. They're what tag team wrestling's all about.
Of course they are.
Yeah.
Of course you would say that. The dream match everybody's been waiting for. It's not a dream match to Cash and myself. It's not a dream match for us. We've had to sit back and watch these guys get awarded with Tag Team of the Decade. We got to sit back and listen to Dave Meltzer sing their praises and say they're the next Midnight Express. Tony, do you think that makes us happy? Do you think we enjoy hearing that?
No. Sure, yeah.
I don't want to come in here. I don't want to have the best tag team wrestling match in history with them. I want to punch them in the mouth.
Wow.
That's what I want to do.
I want to beat them in 3 seconds.
All right. Okay, then. put her in the blade. She got into some physicality with him, but you didn't attack the Young Bucks. Why did that happen that way?
We have dreamed about this moment for the past 5 years. You can't say one tag team's name without the other being right after, whether it's FTR, but what about the Young Bucks, or the Young Bucks, but what about FTR? Who's better? And when we finally get the answer to that, Tony, I want zero doubt in anybody's mind. I don't want any excuses. I don't want anybody to say, oh, they were softened up by the Butcher and the Blade. I don't want to hear they were injured. There was a broken rib. There was a bad back. I want them to be 110%. I want them to be healthier than they've ever been in their lives.
When we beat them, Tony, I'd like for you and I'd like for JR and I'd like for Taz and Excalibur and all your little commentary friends to come to us and apologize and say, hey, man, I'm sorry for the last year and a half. You guys are the best.
Whenever it happens, it should be tremendous. And thanks for the exclusive interview, man.
Thank you, Tony.
All this time, I thought FTR was... Can I say it here? FTR was...
of course you would think that. Yeah, that's why they've been feeding you.
You two punks got to go through us first. You think you're tough? Huh? You guys think you're real tough?
No.
Yeah, that's the game. That's the game. You had never seen a butcher and the blade before.
What we did last week, that wasn't personal. That was business. Yeah. We are businessmen.
Okay.
That wasn't personal. It's personal for you, obviously. Yeah, so if you guys want to settle this like businessmen, why don't we settle it in the ring where we handle our business? Calm down.
Yeah, relax.
Yes.
Relax.
We'll see you next week.
Relax.
We'll see you next week. FTR, out.
What's going on, everybody? My name is Vampiro. This right here is the Rad Turtles Wrestling Podcast. Tune in, get tuned up, get informed, and enjoy the podcast.
The Rad Turtles Wrestling Podcast.
I like how they're like, you know, fear the revolution or for the revolution or FTR can mean anything. They told the story, and Tony's like, oh, I'm glad to have the first exclusive interview. Well, Chris Jericho kind of trumped you, Tony, and had the first exclusive interview since they left WWE, but still, semantics. This is the first interview on AEW television with FTR. They did a great job. And I've said this for months now. If they ever went to AEW, their gimmick is tailor-made for AEW. They are the anti-AEW. They even mentioned it, talking about, you know, the Lucha Bros being everything that they stand against for in tag team wrestling. That's great stuff. You know, their gimmick used to be no flips, just fists. And they were, you know, ground and pound, mat wrestling, old school tag team wrestlers. Because they grew up watching the Mid-Atlantic and stuff like that. I love the fact that they are the anti-AEW. I said it all along that this is going to be perfect for them. They're against everything AEW stands for. And they're a throwback. That original gimmick was the revival, reviving tag team wrestling to bring it back to what it used to be, back in the old days. I love the fact that they used a spike pile driver on the Butcher and the Blade last week, which is straight out of, you know, Tully Blanchard and Arn Anderson's playbook as the Brainbusters. And I love the fact that Butcher and Blade came here after the interview they were pissed off. And I like Tony, you know, acting like they're off the air and like, can we really talk about what FTW means? Or FTR means? He's like, can I stay here? And then, you know, it's obviously fuck the revival, which is what the Young Bucks tweeted out, you know, several months ago. They were named the best tag team in the world by Dave Meltzer, who sucks them off continually. And they, you know, in fact, I think it goes back even farther than that. After their feud with DIY and having the best match of the year in NXT, I think it's when the Bucks tweeted out, you know, fuck the revival because they were jealous of them. because they thought they were the best tag team in the world. So the history goes back there, you know, several years. And obviously they are, you know, eventually leading, they will lead up to a match between the Young Bucks and FTR. And I think it's going to be fantastic. But I'm glad to see them there. I really am. It's a good place for them. It's perfect for them. Their gimmick is perfect for AEW to be the anti-establishment, the anti-AEW. And this promo with Tony was great. It really was. They did great stuff. I love the fact that Cash at the end throws his water bottle at Butcher and the Blade and says, FTR is out. So it's so good. Other than that, I didn't enjoy AEW at all. I didn't. Show's getting a little bit stale. I mean, it's good to see these new guys, but I'm over the Cody's and the road stuff, really. Like, they're the only two guys that can bleed in AEW, and why are they? On TV matches. You had Jungle Boy against Cody, and he was bleeding all over the place last week. Why? Again, what's the point on that? It's a TV match. It's not a heated feud. It's not a blood feud. It's not a pay-per-view. It's not a blow-off match. It's a fucking one-off on network television. And you get Cody Rhodes to bleed? Why? To get sympathy for what? Get sympathy on him? When we know he's the EVP, he's the TNT champion? Jungle Boy isn't at that level yet, and I commend them for trying to elevate Jungle Boy. They tried, you know, giving him the rub with Chris Jericho, and that didn't last long, so now they give him another rub with Cody. And Cody's bleeding? For what? Why? Why do we need more sympathy on Cody Rhodes? I mean, I guess you could look at it and say, oh, you know, Cody's bleeding. Maybe Jungle Boy has a chance now. That deteriorates Jungle Boy's perception. That undermines him. Saying the only way he could win this is because Cody was injured and was bleeding everywhere. Maybe he's got a chance now. That's stupid. Ass backwards booking. And this is the problem I have with AEW. Their booking sucks. It sucks. There's no more rhyme or reason behind it. They take two steps forward and always one step back. Always. That brings me to NXT. NXT last week was really, really good. I really enjoyed that unique cage that they had with Matt Riddle and Timothy Thatcher. Fantastic. I mean, the matches they've had were killer. Why not carry that on to NXT in your house? A day later, after last week's match and that very, very interesting cage that they constructed where you could walk around on top and all that. If you haven't seen the match, go back and watch it. Matt Riddle gets announced that he's part of SmackDown now. What the fuck? Why? Why? Why not keep him in NXT with Thatcher? Why move him to SmackDown all of a sudden? Out of the blue. To the blue. Makes no sense. Two steps forward, one step back. They all do it. I don't understand the booking of any company right now, to be quite honest. Thatcher and Riddle were fantastic. I don't know why you would break that up so soon. I want to know the logic behind that. That brings me to what happened this week with Drake Maverick. Losing the finals of the interim cruiserweight title tournament against El Fantasma Del Hijo, whatever, the fantastic dude. And you think he's done. And he's crying. And Jesus Christ. You know how you can tell this will work? The fake crying. Taking your thumb and your index finger and pinching the bridge of your nose. You know, who the fuck does that when they're crying? When I cry, I bawl like a baby. I'm not pinching the top of my fucking nose, the bridge of my nose. You know, like all actors do when they fake cry. Jesus Christ. I don't think I've ever done that in my life. But that's like the telltale sign when someone's crying, right? He did that a couple months ago, and I'm like, this is bullshit. You know, when they first released everybody several months back, and he was part of that, and he cut an impassioned promo on his Twitter page, literally crying for real. Like, I really thought at that point it really was over. And I think it was. I think he legit was released at that point. But WWE took that video and put it on NXT and made note of it, made light of it, took, you know, brought it to light. And then said he's going to continue to wrestle in this interim Cruiserweight Eternal tournament. If he was released, they would have jobbed his ass out in the first round. Or not even put him in the title tournament to begin with. So maybe it wasn't work the entire time. But I called it. The second they put that Twitter video on NXT television, I said this was a work. And all you assholes told me I was wrong. And look, I've been wrong about a lot of things last year. But I was happy to get this one right. This was a work from the get-go. Or it turned into one. And I called it. People are like, no, that's horrible, WWE, to put that video out there and make fun of this guy who was released. They're a bunch of assholes, blah, 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 blah. Screw them. They suck. How heartless can you be? Get ready to eat some crow, everybody. After Drake Maverick lost the match in this, you know, the final match in this tournament, Triple H came out and gave him a contract. Now, if Drake Maverick was literally re-signing back with the company, it wouldn't have put that shit on TV. It's all a work. And you guys fell right into it. For once, I was right. For once, I was right. Happens every now and then, right? Broken clock is right twice a day. That's one of my rights. It's one of the things I got right. But good to see Drake Maverick still employed. And it was a great story to tell. But it was pretty predictable. Looking forward to In Your House, which is tomorrow as I'm recording on Sunday, June 7th, 2020. I'm going to break down that card a little bit later, give you my predictions. But let's move on to SmackDown. Last week on SmackDown, to open the show, we saw a police car, a crashed rental car, Elias laying on the ground, and him getting put into an ambulance to take to a local medical facility. And like, I wonder who did it. Renee Young was out there, you know, telling a story about what happened and painting the picture. And the cops go into the car. They pull out a bottle of what looked like to be whiskey. Cop opened up the bottle and smelt it. And he's like, oh, must be whiskey. The fucking bottle didn't say that, right? Then they pull down the visor and paperwork falls out. It's convenient. He's like, Jeff Hardy? Is there a Jeff Hardy here? Obviously, that car was rented to Jeff Hardy. So all of a sudden, the cops go on a run about 50 yards away, 100 yards away. And they find Jeff Hardy, who's like laying in the bushes. And they carry him back for what seems like forever. Jesus Christ, is the longest walk back to the police car ever. And you had Jamie Noble there and Jason Jordan, who I didn't even know was still in the company and obviously hasn't wrestled in like a year and a half due to injury, but apparently he's an agent or a producer now. He was in a suit and tie with Jamie Noble, and they're helping Jeff Hardy out with the cops. Cops cuffed him, put him in the back of the car. This shit took forever. Took Elias away. Then at the end of the show, during the semifinals, the Intercontinental Title Tournament, we had Sheamus against Daniel Bryan. AJ Styles got a free pass because he was supposed to face Elias. But Daniel had to face somebody because Daniel wanted to be a fighter and didn't want a free pass. In this day and age, it's stupid. I mean, I can see it working back in the day. I'm a fighter. I'm a fighting champion. I don't want a free pass. I'm for the people, blah, blah, blah. I don't want a free shot. I want to earn it. Whatever, dude. So they had a battle royal to determine who was going to face Daniel Bryan in the semifinals. Sheamus won it. Sheamus faced Daniel. Jeff Hardy comes down at the end of the show. Wow, what are the odds? Like, when that happened back in the late 90s in the Attitude Era, when Stone Cold got arrested in the beginning, and he came back in the show, I was like, wow, that's great timing. Here we are so many years later, and Jeff Hardy just magically gets bailed out or busts out. I don't know. gets bailed out of jail and comes back to the arena to attack Sheamus. Oh, it's so stupid. How are you supposed to suspend your disbelief when that is one of the most asinine things and overused things in the history of wrestling? Like, always happens, right? So this week, we hear from Jeff Hardy, which I'm going to play for you right now, regarding the real circumstances to what took place last week on SmackDown.
So I pulled up to the Performance Center parking lot, excited about the day, excited about the show. I grabbed all my stuff. I got out of the car and bam! It felt like somebody hit me with an anvil. Everything went dark. The next thing I knew, police were surrounding me. They were asking me questions that I couldn't answer. My clothes reeked of alcohol. My brain was barely conscious. The handcuffs were ripping the skin away from my wrist. Man, I started to drift back to that dark time that I vowed I would never return to. So I started questioning everything, man. Everything I've worked for the last 8 months. Sobriety, my career, my family. Even though my head was spinning, I knew deep down in my heart that I did not slip last Friday. Eyewitnesses showed up that they interviewed. They said they saw the person get out of my car, flee the scene. They said the person had red hair and red beard. A red beard, right? Oh. I was furious, man.
Don't go pointing fingers and trying to cast aspersions on me, fella. Because you're just doing what you've done your entire life. Blaming other people for your problems. Those fans that lied to the cops on your behalf, they're worse than you. They're enablers. For once in your life, be a man and admit to what you did. But you won't, will you? You're just a junkie. Oh, Jeff. And don't worry about the disappointment and embarrassment your wife and daughters would feel after another one of your slip-ups. They're used to it.
Jeff Hardy heard enough. Now Sheamus just pushing his buttons, went for the bro kick, and now Hardy takes Sheamus down. An emotional couple of weeks for Jeff Hardy, just exploding out of him tonight. And now a bro by Sheamus. And I don't believe Sheamus is done yet, wants to continue to punish and torture this man.
Sheamus doing everything in his own power to make Jeff Hardy's life hell.
First it was the war of words, and now just a physical assault on Jeff Hardy.
Incendiary statements followed by a bro kick and a continuous beatdown from Sheamus.
Well, there you go. Sheamus did it. And Sheamus comes down and calls bullshit and calls him a junkie and all that. They fight. Jeff eats a bro kick. Sheamus slams him all around the plexiglass. Broke one of the stanchions. So I'm sure they had to fix that. So yeah, Jeff got it. And Jeff isn't the greatest promo either, but I mean, he did as well as he could with it as he could. I took exception to the whole, Jeff Hardy being inebriated and hitting Elias with a car and being drunk out of his mind. You know, I bought into the story last week. Now that we see that, you know, it's because he got attacked by Sheamus and Sheamus knocked him out and Sheamus staged the whole thing. But, you know, watching us last week, I'm like, ooh, that's, I never like it when it's close to home like that. You know, we're a few weeks removed from the Dark Side of the Ring special about the Road Warriors, in which they chronicled Hawk's angle in the WWF back in the Attitude Era days, where, you know, they had Hawk play off of real life and act like he was drunk on the show. And in fact, even have draws push him off the Titantron. Like, it was so stupid. They did it with Scott Hall in WCW, you know, having him, you know, act like he was drunk playing off his, I don't like stuff like that when it's too close to home. They did it even before that in WWF on Monday Night Raw when Jake the Snake came back and he was saved and he was preaching the Bible. And you had Jerry Lawler take a bottle of what they said was Jack Daniels and pour it down Jake's throat because they knew Jake used to be a drunk. Never liked it then. I don't like it now. Sorry, it's just not my thing. Never, ever did I care for it. And a lot of the boys didn't like it either. So that's what I thought they were doing again. But apparently, you know, thankfully, that's not where they were going. And Sheamus was one behind it all. So I'm enjoying the feud between Jeff Hardy and Sheamus. I think they're going to have a really good match coming up at Backlash. Otis was hilarious. Otis saw King Corbin's crown and robe on a chair, and he put on King Corbin's crown. He said, "Oh, kind of pointy, gotta watch out for that." Little pointy. I can't do a great Otis, but it was pretty funny. He's like, "Oh yeah, I'm the king." We saw Miz and Morrison prank Braun Strowman. I was going to tear that up, but you know what? It wasn't that bad. I mean, like, some of the stuff they did was really dumb. Like, you know, the first prank they had, and Miz and Morrison were out in this van in the parking lot. And Morrison was sweating like a whore in church. I don't know how long they were in there doing promos, but obviously there's no AC in there, and they're down in Florida, in Orlando. So, I don't know how long they were in there for, but, you know, they did some funny stuff to start off the segment. So then they go to, it's like a surveillance van. They go to video Braun in the performance center upstairs in their lounge area, in their kitchen area, about to pour his protein shake into his water bottle. And as he did, it sprayed up and shot all over the place. And they were laughing their balls off, and he was pissed. So then later on in the show, Braun is interviewed by Kayla Braxton. And he's talking about Miz and Morrison. He knows how they're behind it. They ruined his protein shake, blah, 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 blah. They push a button and slime comes out. Like old Nickelodeon, you can't do this in television. The slime that they used all over the years. They slimed Kayla Braxton. Because Morrison didn't put the bucket in the right place. Miz is like, "I told you to put it on the left." He's like, "I did put it on the left." He's like, "I told you stage left." He's like, "You didn't tell me, like, what's the difference between, like, how am I supposed to know what left is left?" And whatever, stage left is stage left. And it got on Braun's leg. It got in his beard. So eventually they're like, "Well, we did get some on Braun, so that's a win," and they high-fived, right? Okay, that's cool. Well, then they go out and they smash Braun Strowman's car and broke his windshield, completely destroyed his car. He comes out and he's like, "I worked so hard for this, blah, blah, blah." And it was like a Cadillac, or I don't even know what it was, right? He's like, "I worked so hard for this. I can't believe you guys did this. Who did this?" And there's a security guard that was standing outside and said, "Oh, Miz and Morrison did it." "Where are they?" "Oh, they're right there in his van." Because Miz and Morrison's like, "He'll never find us. He doesn't know we're in here." And the guy stooged on him. He's like, "He stooged us out. Oh, no. Like, don't worry. The doors are locked." Yeah, the doors were locked, but it didn't stop Braun from tipping the van over with them inside of it. And you saw them fall over and all that. That was entertaining stuff. As hokey as it was, and as hokey as the Viking Raiders and Street Profits stuff, at least it's something different we're seeing. And it's entertaining. There really wasn't anything I didn't like about SmackDown. I actually thought it was a really, really good show. I think it was the best show of the week, in my opinion. So I think they did a really good job with SmackDown. So that's This Week in Wrestling. Again, if you want to go back and watch the shows, WWE Network, AEW, you know, TNTdrama.com. You know, you can watch NXT on USA's website. And you can watch SmackDown on Fox's website. Go back and watch the shows. But it was a decent week. More bad than good. But I thought SmackDown was a pretty entertaining show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's your boy, the Coach, from the WWE. Now, there are very few wrestling podcasts out there that I like. But this one I love. I love the name. I love the personalities. I love the content. Follow. Subscribe. I do. The Rad Turtles Wrestling Podcast. That's where you're at right here.
The Rad Turtles Wrestling Podcast.
Well, there you go, guys. That's what I thought about this whole week of wrestling shows. Let's get into the current news in the RTW News Desk. All right. We definitely have some interesting news this week. There was a report about Jinder Mahal. He told Louis Dan Gour of WrestleTalk that he was going to feud with Drew McIntyre over the WWE title at some point in the future. But unfortunately, Mahal is injured again. He took to social media on Friday to inform fans that he had to go back under the knife to fix some knee issues. It's unclear how significant the injury is or when he will return to the ring. Mahal was out of action from June 2019 to April 27th of this year due to a knee injury. Upon his return, McIntyre strongly hinted at a feud with Mahal given their story in 3MB and their paths to success after their respective releases in 2014. McIntyre had told Busted Open Radio in May, he quoted saying, "I know a lot of people out there, when they hear Jinder initially, they're going to think, no, that's not what we want right now. But trust me, y'all will see the bigger picture. There's a real story there, not just a story on television where we were in 3MB. We both got fired. We came back. We won world titles. There's so much more behind the scenes that happened. So much more that happened in our personal lives that we'd be comfortable putting on television for a world title feud. We put it all out there. He just needs to keep building some steam. I need some time to cement myself as the champion. When the crowds come back, I need a heel who is a real heel, and we have a true backstory. When he won the world title, people weren't so happy about it. When I won it, I was praised. Perhaps there's a little jealousy, and we have the story outside the ring. For everyone out there that's not sure, trust me, it would be something special because it would be real." McIntyre is currently set to defend his WWE title against Bobby Lashley at WWE Backlash, but it's unfortunate for Jinder Mahal that he just came back a month and a half ago, and now he's going back in for some more surgery on that knee, and we're not sure when he's coming back. If the stories are true that he was to have a feud with Drew McIntyre and they were going to incorporate and encompass the entire history between them on screen and off screen, I think it would have been great stuff. I think it would have been exactly what both those guys needed. We have new WWE Women's Tag Team Champions Sasha Banks and Bayley defeated Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross in the main event of SmackDown. And in their post-victory photo shoot, Banks asked Bayley, "Should we take pictures on the floor crying?" That line was a reference to the report last year that said Banks and Bayley were laying on the floor, loudly making it known that they were unhappy about losing the tag team titles following their loss at WrestleMania 35. And now that they've regained the titles, they were actually on the floor crying. That is hilarious. EC3 posted a video of himself watching the recent teaser video that Impact posted about its upcoming Slammiversary event and tweeted out, "New world, my rules, nostalgia is dead. Clickbait, hashtag control your narrative, hashtag free EC3. As we know, EC3 got released by WWE a few months ago, and he is a free agent. And he's teasing possibly going back to where he had his greatest success, and that is TNA Impact. We'll see if he shows up on Impact in the coming months. Former member of the tag team, The Fantastics, Bobby Fulton, recently posted a video on YouTube saying that all of his cancer is gone and that he is now cancer-free. Fulton was diagnosed with throat cancer in December 2019 and began chemotherapy this past January. On June 2nd, he revealed that most of his cancer was gone, but he still had a small tumor. 3 days later, he delivered the good news to fans. He said, "All of my cancer is gone. God has truly blessed me. Thank you for all the prayers and thoughts. I love you all." Fulton was one half of the Fantastics alongside Tommy Rogers in the 80s and 90s. He is a former NWA United States Tag Team Champion, World Class World Tag Team Champion, and AWA Southern Tag Team Champion. He last wrestled on December 14th during an event they had for Bobby Eaton called Bobby Eaton, A Night of Appreciation. Good to see that Bobby Fulton is cancer-free, and I hope my buddy Tracy Smothers has the same diagnosis here in the next few weeks. Hopefully, he defeats cancer as well. Hangman Page was that again. He's been very controversial lately. He was on episode 203 of Being the Elite and had mentioned that leading into All In September 2018, Hangman Page and Joey Ryan were involved in a famous feud on Being the Elite, which was all about dicks. Yes, dicks. Hangman is a hung cowboy. His words, not mine. Ryan is the king of dong style. It was a match made in Blue Chew heaven. It looked like the two would finally settle the score at All In before Ryan's untimely, quote, death. Though Hangman was thought to be the murderer, he had two accomplices who wanted to see him wrestle Joey Janela, not Joey Ryan at All In. On the AEW podcast, AEW Unrestricted, Hangman Page talked about this and said, I was in the middle of the Joey Ryan thing. We were trying to figure out what we would do for All In. I wanted to wrestle Joey Ryan because it felt natural. I think Matt and Nick were more concerned with wanting me to have a good match, not about dicks. That's what I like about wrestling. You can have a good match about dicks. I guess in this one occasion, they wanted something a little different, and we decided to do something with Joey Janela, which looking back was a great decision. He was on fire, and the match was great. Hangman went on to say that he was surprised Janela didn't die in the match with all the crazy bumps he took. Janela's death would not have been shocking given Hangman's history, but in the case of Joey Ryan, Hangman didn't exactly get the job done. Ryan was resurrected at All In and got his revenge on Hangman. He said, my favorite memory was after I got dick flipped by Joey Ryan. We had the 10 inflatable penises hoist me out and carry me out of the arena, he recalled. I was laying face up on my back. I couldn't see the crowd. I was just listening to how insane it was. That was my favorite moment, knowing we had crafted something over a year that somehow made the weird thing really mean something. When you think about All In, that's an image you think about, me getting carried out by inflatable penises. I'm just thinking of Jim Cornette right now, listening to that statement. God help us all. In a final note, on a personal note, as Gordon Solie used to say, congratulations to my friend, the Six Tool product, Anthony Catena, on working in AEW right now. He was on last week. He was in the crowd, kind of celebrating with Chris Jericho, and he will be on AEW Dark this week. Super, super happy for Anthony. Such a great talent, such a great kid. And I'm looking forward to seeing him wrestle on AEW's YouTube page for AEW Dark this coming week. So congrats to my buddy Anthony Catena. It's well-deserved, man. I hope they use you well, and I hope you get a good run there. I hope you get some TV time. If not, it's a great learning experience. You can move on, but really, that's fantastic, man. Really, really proud of you, Anthony. So keep up the good work, buddy. There you go, guys. That is all the news I have for this week. Let's get with Polyester the Evil Taylor and find out who this week's Imbecile of the Week is.
Good evening to each and every one of you imbeciles out there. Welcome back to your favorite segment of the Ninja Turtle Podcast, the Imbecile of the Week, hosted by, well, me, Polyester the Evil Taylor. So it's over. It's finally over. No more pandemic. The coronavirus has officially been done with, gone. It's no longer a thing. It's gone. Well, not really. Not really. It's still here, but the news has decided to focus their shift from something that used to be high ratings into, well, something that has even bigger ratings. A cop killing a black man. Make no mistake about it. That cop deserves to get the death penalty. He killed somebody for no reason. The way he held his knee behind the guy's neck and just watched it on camera just die. That's very unfortunate. And we can all agree that the cop should be put in jail for the rest of his life at minimum for what he did. That being said, the looting, well, Polly has no issue with looters as far as Polly's concerned. As long as you loot in a different city, in a different neighborhood, in a different town, by all means, loot away. No issues as far as Polly's concerned. But unlike the news, I believe that the Chinese virus is still a thing to talk about. Brings me to a particular individual named Chris. believe his last name is Honeychin. I can't pronounce his last name, but I guess a few months ago, Mr. Chris decided that he wanted to place a wager on a number of total deaths prior to September 1st. I believe he said that 100,000 people would die of the coronavirus before September 1st, and his payout would be $10,000. So, I guess a few days ago, we reached that milestone of 100,000 deaths due to the coronavirus, and, well, Mr. Chris cashed in and decided to gloat about it. He said, well, one thing positive about 100,000 people dying, that he gets his $10,000. But of course, he did that on Twitter, and you don't do that type of stuff on Twitter because, well, the mob will go after you. And the mob got after him, and, well, apparently now he's decided to donate all his winnings to the food bank. I mean, I guess that's a good cause. I guess, but this self-snitching that people do is just extremely imbecilic. Why you would win money and decide you wanted to show it off in front of the public, knowing that you might get some backlash, and he got a whole bunch of backlash by all kinds of people. And he decided he wanted to baby face himself out of it and said he would just donate the whole thing. So because you couldn't keep your mouth shut, and you could have been $10,000 richer, Mr. Chris, you would be this week's imbecile of the week. That'll do it for this week, you imbeciles. Give me a follow on Twitter, @ThePauly_Esther. That's @ThePauly_Esther on Twitter. And tune in again next week. Who knows, maybe you'll be the imbecile of the week.
Polly. Good Lord. Look, I don't want to get into politics or anything like that on this show. I don't really want to talk about what's going on in the world today. There's so much craziness here. I am here to entertain you guys. I had no idea what he was going to say. I didn't listen to it ahead of time. I want to react naturally to it. And I will say this. What happened was an absolute tragedy. And I'm glad that the police are being held accountable for it. I'm glad they're being prosecuted. Those four cops deserve to be put in prison and let the chips fall where they may when it comes to that. That's all I'll say about that. I have no take on what's happened after that. But then Polly goes on to talk about like the mob and gambling. It's just, you never know what Polly's going to say. And I usually don't want to sell any of it. I just no sell it. But he's out there, man. Like it used to be funny. It used to be really funny stuff. Not all of them are hits. There's a lot of misses lately. But I re-upped his contract last December. Don't ask me why. I guess felt sorry for him. Maybe I don't know. But I'm stuck with him. You know, at least until this coming December. But Polly's views and opinion, I need to put out a disclaimer, I think, before every you know, the next imbeciles of the week, saying the thoughts and opinions of Polly Esther the Evil Taylor do not necessarily reflect the thoughts and views of the R&R Podcast Network or its affiliates. I think I need to do that from now on. But there you go. That's the imbecile of the week. That's fantastic.
The Rad Turtles Wrestling Podcast.
Finally, let's get into the card for NXT TakeOver In Your House.
Hey, everybody, this is Todd Pettengill, and we are just days away from having a house party that would make Kid and Play jealous. This Sunday, as the doors to our house remain temporarily closed, the superstars of NXT take over your house with an event 25 years in the making. Will Tommaso Ciampa be able to evict Karrion Kross? Can Rhea Ripley and Io Shirai dethrone the queen? And with all the lights turned on, the spotlight shines on an undisputed dream in the first ever NXT Backlot Brawl. All these and more knocking on the door Sunday as we take over In Your House.
All right, here are my predictions for NXT TakeOver In Your House, which should be fantastic. You heard that promo from the returning Todd Pettengill. Todd came back to do a minute video, just kind of previewing In Your House. He hasn't lost a step, man. I love Todd Pettengill. I'd like to get him on the show at some point, talk about wrestling and his career in radio and broadcasting and WWF and all that. He was a big part of them in the early to mid-90s. But here we go. Mia Yim, Tegan Nox, and Shotzi Blackheart taking on Candice LeRae, Dakota Kai, and Raquel Gonzalez. There's a lot of talent in this match. But, you know, picking a winner comes down to who needs the win here. You know, LeRae has been making waves with her push for respect. Her and Johnny have been doing really good stuff. I love the fact that they turn heel. You know, it could really benefit her, you know, and keep them strong if she comes out with a win, especially if Gargano wins the North American Championship. You know, there's overall more benefit to the heels winning this match than the babyfaces, because, I mean, Yim, Tegan, and Shotzi, they're okay, but there's a lot of story they put into Dakota Kai and her relationship with Raquel Gonzalez, and they're putting a lot behind Candice and Johnny too, so I don't think the faces have a chance here, and I think Candice, Dakota, and Raquel are going to get a pretty easy win in this one. Finn Balor versus Damian Priest, following a brief stint in which he was in the North American title picture, Priest can really benefit from this feud with Finn Balor. While it's entirely possible that Priest could get the victory here, maybe with some chicanery being involved, I still think Balor is going to come away with a clean victory in this first match as, you know, retribution for the attack several weeks ago when Damian Priest took Finn Balor out and took him out of the Adam Cole picture. I think Finn Balor wins this match. Tommaso Ciampa versus Karrion Kross in Karrion's first big high-profile match here in NXT. As much as I love Ciampa, he doesn't need to win as much as Karrion needs this win. The former Killer Kross, if you've seen anything from his intro and his entrance, they're putting all this behind him. It's almost like he's the new, you know, Finn Balor. He's the new demon, right? How elaborate his entrance is pretty much tells you who's going to win this match. It would be absolutely stupid if Kross lost this match. As good as Tommaso is, there's no reason for Kross to lose this match. Even though he attacked Ciampa, Ciampa wants revenge. If Ciampa wins this match, you're going to kill Karrion Kross right from the get-go. If you really want to put him over as a big player and put him over as a top-level heel and a top-level threat, Karrion Kross has to win this match, and he will. NXT North American Championship match. The NXT North American champion Keith Lee taking on the newly turned heel Johnny Gargano. Lee's reign with the title at this point has been pretty lackluster, to be quite honest. I don't think it's his fault, considering, you know, he won it in late January. Most of his defenses have been, you know, in smaller or empty arenas, all against larger opponents. Gargano should give Lee the marquee match that he has needed. And seeing that Johnny Wrestling is now a heel who's not at the top of the card, he can certainly afford to take the loss and really shine up Keith Lee and make him look like $1 million. Johnny has never, ever, ever given a bad match on the NXT pay-per-view or NXT TakeOver. And this should be a barn burner. It really should. But I see Keith Lee retaining the title. And I still think that given Johnny's reputation, and the fact that he hardly ever wins takeover matches anyway, but still puts on the best match of the night, I think he'll do it again in a loss to Keith Lee. Keith Lee will retain his North American Championship. NXT Women's Championship match, the NXT Women's Champion, the Queen, Charlotte Flair, versus Rhea Ripley and Io Shirai in a triple threat match. You know, putting the NXT Championship on Flair, I think, has been a bit of a mistake. It kind of slowed the growth and the momentum that's a Dashy joke. You guys don't know who Dashy, sorry. completely slowed the momentum that Ripley had going into WrestleMania. And because of it, the women's division in NXT has kind of been lackluster. I mean, not clearly as bad as AEW. Nothing is. But I think it's time that WWE kind of rights that wrong and puts the title back on Ripley. Hopefully, by beating Flair, not Shirai. While I think it would be great to see the title get put on Io Shirai, who's very, very deserving and long overdue for the opportunity, I still think Ripley is the right one to go with here. So I am taking Rhea Ripley to regain the NXT Women's Championship. Then our main event. For the NXT Championship, the NXT champion, the longest reigning NXT champion in history, Adam Cole, baby, taking on Velveteen Dream in a backlot brawl. Now, I don't know if this is going to be like the Hollywood backlot brawl like we had with Goldust and Roddy Piper back in the day. If it's anything that crazy, then it's going to be a hell of a thing to see. But it looks like they're going possibly cinematic with this one. And I think going the cinematic direction with this match is hit or miss. But with Cole having held the championship for more than a year, things kind of start to really, you know, get to a point to where you wonder what's left. Like, what else does Adam Cole is left to prove? What else does he have to do? And I think at some point they're going to give Dream a run on the top. Now, I don't know the circumstances with Dream and the alleged interactions he had with minors several months ago. I don't know if that's all been cleared up or he's been absolved of all that. I really didn't think with all that going on, you know, even if it was just a rumor, that they should be putting Dream on TV. And I thought by having Dream lose that match to Cole, you know, a month ago or so, that they were going to take him off of TV for a while. But Dream is back, and I don't see Cole winning this one. I really don't. I think the time is up for him. I don't know if he's going to stay in NXT or move on, but he's been a fantastic champion. He's had a hell of a friggin' run. And I think, you know, even though all the bitching and complaining, I think, has held Dream back over the last couple of years, you know, wanting to move up to the main roster or wanting to be NXT champion or move to the main roster, I think that's kind of held him back. You know, the old adage is the squeaky wheel always gets the grease, but not when it comes to Vince McMahon. He doesn't like complainers. He will bench you if you go into business for yourself and try to put yourself over. I think that Zack Ryder might be the only case to where, you know, that didn't happen. But I think Dream needs this opportunity to be the guy, to establish himself as the main event guy. So I'm going to go on a limb here, and I'm going to pick Velveteen Dream to win the title. So there you go, guys. That is my predictions for NXT TakeOver In Your House. Tomorrow night, Sunday, June 7th, on the WWE Network. Going to be a great show. There's never, ever, ever been a bad takeover. This will be our first, quote, empty arena takeover. Even though there will be, you know, some people in the crowd. It'll be our first COVID takeover special, as some of the matches that were planned for TakeOver Tampa played out on NXT TV. This is the first official NXT takeover, and it's in your house. It's kind of cool. Kind of see how they'll decorate the Performance Center and how they'll present the product. But it's definitely a throwback. But I think it'll be good. Never, ever been a bad takeover. So I'm looking forward to it. And I will be here to review TakeOver. It might not be immediately on Sunday night. It may be Monday afternoon, Monday evening. It just depends. My mom's in town. It's going to get over late. I don't think I'll be able to be in here to review it. So at some point, I will have a TakeOver review for you guys. Stay tuned to the podcast feed here. And it'll drop whenever I get a chance to put it out. I hope you guys enjoyed this show. It's the first official show for the R&R Podcast Network. As I mentioned in the beginning, it's a new day. Yes, it is. The birth of the R&R Podcast Network. We have lots and lots of good stuff coming up for you in the future. So absolutely stay tuned, and we'll let you know when we have any new shows or any announcements to make. It's going to be a blast. We're going to have a great time. That being said, guys, if you want to follow me on Twitter, it is at RadRobGaming. Check me out on Twitch. I'm a Twitch gaming streamer. I stream every Tuesday night at 6 p.m. Central and every Sunday afternoon at 2 p.m. Central. And check out my YouTube gaming page. It is called RadRobGaming. Thank you for all the new subs this week, by the way. channel is still continuing to grow, and that's fantastic. I love playing video games. If you want to follow the show on Twitter, it is at RadTurtlesPod, as my announcer likes to say, even though I've been saying at RadTurtlesPod for a while. So let's just go with it. At RadTurtlesPod on Twitter. Email us, RadTurtlesWrestling@gmail.com. Facebook.com/RadTurtlesWrestling. Leave us a like there. Check out our Pro Wrestling Tees store, ProWrestlingTees.com/RadTurtlesWrestling. And follow our network on Twitter. It is at RR Pod Network. That is at RR Pod Network on Twitter for any announcements regarding anything on that's part of our network. You can also email the network at rrpodcastnetwork@gmail.com. rrpodcastnetwork@gmail.com. I will be back on Tuesday for a new episode of RTW Rewind with former WWF enhancement talent, Dusty Wolf, or Dale Wolf, as they changed his name to back in the late 80s, early 90s. I had a great conversation with Dusty. That'll be upcoming on Tuesday, dropping 8 o'clock Eastern, 8 a.m. Eastern, a new episode of RTW Rewind. My conversation with Dusty Wolf. Until then, guys, enjoy the rest of your weekend. Enjoy TakeOver. And we'll see you right back here on Tuesday for RTW Rewind. Take care, guys.
Thanks again for listening to the flagship edition of the Red Turtles Wrestling Podcast. Please follow RTW on Twitter at Red Turtles Pod. You can also send us an email at RadTurtlesWrestling@gmail.com. We'd like to thank you for all your support. You've been listening to the Red Turtles Wrestling Podcast, exclusively here on the R&R Podcast Network.